at that time were an emergency room.
Yes.
And at about 10:22 p.m., did a patient by the name of Laquan McDonald come into the emergency room?
Yes.
When he came into the emergency room, was he treated by doctors?
Yes.
And what was your role?
I was the charter or documenter as a nurse.
I'm sorry, I didn't clearly hear you.
Charter or documenter.
And what does the charter or documenter do?
So what I do is I listen to all the information that is given by the doctors and document their exam, things that are going on that are being done by the doctors and nurses while in the room.
Approximately how many doctors were in the emergency room while Laquan McDonald was there?
I had to guess there was typically six or seven doctors in the room.
Now I want to show the council what's been previously admitted in evidence as People's Exhibit 36. I want to show you what's been admitted previously in evidence as People's Exhibit 36. Do you recognize that?
I do.
What is People's Exhibit 36?
It is a urine cup.
A urine cup?
Correct.
Okay. Doesn't have urine.
It doesn't have urine in it. It has bullet fragments in the urine cup.
Okay. How did the bullet fragments get into the urine cup?
That was something that we would typically do if we found bullet fragments and during a trauma. It was just a sealed container that we'd put it in.
Okay. So was it sterile at the time?
Yes.
Okay. So where did those particular bullet fragments come from to get into the urine cup?
From my charting that I recall, it said they were found in the clothing of Laquan McDonald.
And then you indicated that in your charting?
Yes.
They were recovered from Laquan McDonald, put in the urine cup?
Correct.
And then where was the urine cup, who was that given to?
That was given to Detective Johnson.
Of the Chicago Police Department?
Of the Chicago Police Department, yes.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to really speak up a little bit so everybody can hear you.
Sorry.
Thank you. If you don't, you know, if it helped you, pulling your seat up a little bit closer. All right, go ahead.
And that's all the questions I have for Mr. Gayer.
Examination, Mr. Rooker.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. Is it Guyan?
Guyan or Guyan?
I'm sorry. Good morning.
Good morning.
So part of your responsibilities at Mount Sinai, and this is back in 2014, right?
Correct.
Okay. So back in 2014, your responsibilities were to chart what information you received on a patient. Would that be correct?
Correct.
All right. And I'm going to show you what's been marked as 3.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to show you what marked as defense number 4 and ask if you recognize that.
I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
This is an adult trauma flow sheet that we used on all trauma patients that came in.
And you put in the information in this sheet, correct?
Correct.
And this is the sheet from Laquan McDonald, right?
Correct.
All right, and it shows up on the upper left-hand corner that when he came into the hospital, he had no pulse, correct?
Correct.
He had no heartbeat, correct?
Correct.
So he was dead when he came to the hospital, right?
Correct.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, I have nothing further.
Anything else?
I do, yes, sir. Now, Mr. Kay, you are not a medical doctor, are you?
I am not.
So, are you a person who is qualified to give an expert opinion as to whether a person is dead or alive?
Yes. Sustained, that's not an expert opinion. Come on.
Well, Mr. Kay, when Laquan McDonald came into the hospital, he stayed in the hospital for more than 30 minutes, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I'm sorry, was there an objection?
Yes.
What was your point?
Well, I don't know how that's relevant, number one, and how it's not beyond the scope.
you started cross-examining about Mr. Gahan's function. Overrule if that's your objection.
He was in the emergency room for at least 30 minutes, wasn't he?
I believe approximately so, yes.
And when he was in the emergency room for about 30 minutes, five different medical doctors worked on Laquan McDonald, didn't they?
Correct.
In fact, a trauma team actually cut open his chest.
All right, stop. That's enough. Move on.
Well, did those five doctors work on him for practice, or were they trying to help a person remain alive?
Yes.
As to the form of the question, sustained. You have to establish that he was alive at the time if you want to go into it.
Did any of the doctors tell you when the five of them were working on Laquan McDonald that they were working on a dead person?
Sustain. Stay away from this right now, all right? Ask him if he had any personal knowledge whether Mr. McDonald was alive or dead, all right? And stop the drama, too, all right?
Did you make a personal determination whether or not Laquan McDonald was dead?
Down the information that was given to me from the doctors and from the nurses.
And he was pronounced dead.
All right, this is all hearsay. Let's move on. All right, that's it. You can step down. Thank you. All right, it'll be stricken.
I have no further questions.
I'm going to caution you all to stay, you know, and ask questions that are material and relevant, all right? And don't go astray on this. All right, stay calling your next witness.
Here's a statement called Mark Smith. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this honorable court and jury the whole truth,
nothing but
the truth, so
I'll be done. All right, have a seat. The seat's adjustable. Pull your chair up to the microphone. It's live. Speak into the mic. We'll all be able to hear your testimony, and we'd be greatly appreciated. So thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, would you please state your full name and spell your last name?
Mark Smith, S-M-I-T-H.
Mr. Smith, what is your profession?
I'm a Chicago firefighter paramedic with the Chicago Fire Department.
And what is your training as a paramedic?
I went to EMT school for 5 months, and then I went to paramedic school for a year. It's been a while.
How long have you been a paramedic?
20 years.
And can you tell the jury, what does a paramedic do, generally?
We give ALS treatment to people who may need it, medical treatment, trauma, you know, take care of people.
I think you said, did you say ALS treatment?
Yeah, advanced life support, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I want to direct your attention to October 20th of 2014 at about 9:58 p.m. Were you working that night at about that time?
Yeah, I was on shift, yeah.
Were you dispatched to anywhere at about 9:58 p.m.?
We were at the firehouse and we were called for a GSW gunshot wound.
All right, Mr. Smith, Firefighter Smith, stop using abbreviations and give us the full definition of what you're saying GSW is.
It's a gunshot. We were dispatched to the scene for a gunshot wound.
Thank you.
Did you go to a particular scene?
Yes.
Where did you go?
I don't know the exact address. It was like 39th and Pulaski, roundabout, possibly there. I don't know the exact address.
Okay. What were you in an ambulance?
Yes, sir.
When you arrived, did you see a person later identified as Laquan McDonald?
We arrived and found a patient lying on the sidewalk or on the road.
And when you saw the patient laying on the road, did you later determine that to be Laquan McDonald?
Yes, sir.
Did you then give attention to Laquan McDonald who was laying on the road?
Yes.
Can you describe describe when you approached Mr. McDonald, what did you observe?
We arrived on the scene. Mr. McDonald, the patient, was lying on the road. We got him on a backboard, put him on a stretcher.
Okay, let me just back up. You put him on what?
We got him on a backboard, a long spinal column backboard, and then we put him on the stretcher and get him into the ambulance off the street.
Okay, and then once he was in the ambulance, did you then do anything with him?
We started our treatment of the patient, yeah. Yes, sir.
Can you explain what that treatment was?
Remove his clothing, find out where the injuries were, monitor, IV,
okay, so
as needed.
You applied a monitor?
Yes, sir.
And what did you find when you applied a monitor?
On a monitor, I believe he had a rhythm, possibly in the 60.
Okay, he had a rhythm.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by a rhythm?
He had a heart rate. There was a pulse, and it showed on the cardiac monitor.
Okay. And approximately what was his rhythm or heart rate at that time?
I believe it was like 60. I don't know the exact number.
And when you say 60, is that beats per minute? Or?
Yes, sir.
And then what did you do?
We carried on the care. We I put an IV in him.
Okay, so that's an IV, that's an intravenous.
Intravenous, yeah. My partner.
Okay, slow down. Let's walk through. So the IV, what did it, you know, what did it contain?
Normal saline.
Saline?
Saline, yeah.
Okay, and what is so where do you put that?
Where I could find a vein.
And what was the purpose of putting the saline IV into the
patient? In case the patient needs to replace the fluid, to give him fluid to replace the blood that he may have lost. And it's also, if any medication is needed to be given, it's a path to give medications.
Okay, thank you. So then after you put the IV in, what did you do?
My partner suctioned him.
Okay, now what does suction mean?
He wasn't, didn't appear to be breathing, and he had no gag reflex, so we had to put an airway in for him to assist his respirations.
Okay, remember the jury doesn't really probably know what that means, so okay. What do you mean by put an airway in?
An ET tube, a tube King airway down, and he's larynx to help him breathe.
Okay, so you're pointing to your throat, so you put it down the throat?
Yes.
Okay. And then once this tube was put down his throat, what happened?
We attached a bag to and put him under the oxygen and assist in his respirations.
And then what happened?
We also had to suction him because there was a lot of fluid, blood.
Okay. Thank you. Now, what do you mean by suction?
You get a catheter, suction anything that may be blocking his airway, may stop us properly putting an airway in him.
Okay, so you're suctioning through the throat?
Yeah.
Okay, and then after suctioning him and putting the tube down his throat, what did you do?
We got ready to transport. At that point, we'd done what we could do at that point.
What about CPR? Did anybody?
Well, my partner was calling medical control to let them know that we were bringing a patient in. And at that point, his the monitor, the rhythm on the monitor, and that casually went down. And then we checked his pulse. He had no pulse. And at that point, we started chest compressions for CPR.
Okay, and where was he still at the scene in the ambulance at that time?
We were still working at the scene at that time, yes.
And then when he lost the pulse, who performed CPR?
I initially started chest compressions with another firefighter in the back of the ambulance with us for assistance.
Okay. What, if a person's already lost pulse, what is the point? And when you say pulse, that means the heart stopped?
Yes, sir.
So if the heart is stopped, what's the point of doing CPR?
Do CPR, get the heart pumping, work the heart, pump the blood from the heart, get the circulation going.
Okay. And then once the CPR was begun, what happened next?
There was no change in the patient's condition. I continued CPR. I was replaced by the firefighter. He continued to do the chest compressions, and I jumped into the front of the ambulance to transport to the hospital.
And did you then transport him to a hospital?
Yes, sir.
Which hospital?
I believe it was Mount Sinai.
And then at Mount Sinai, was the patient of Laquan McDonald taken to the emergency room?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I have no further questions at this time, Your Honor.
Cross-examination.
Mr. Smith.
Good morning.
You went there with a partner, right?
Yes.
Michelle Riley?
My officer, yeah.
And she was the paramedic that was mostly treating the patient. Would that be correct to say?
No.
You were driving, though, from the...
No,
from the
scene. I was... Yes, sir.
Wait for a second.
Sorry.
You drove from the scene to the hospital, correct?
Yes, sir.
You were not in the back of the ambulance with the patient on the way to the hospital, correct?
Not during transport.
Michelle Riley was, correct?
Yes, sir.
So she was treating him or trying to treat him the whole time on the trip to the hospital, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you remember testifying, or do you remember testifying in the federal grand jury on August 26, 2015?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and you gave answers to questions they asked you in that grand jury, correct?
Yes, sir.
And one of the questions they asked you was if you remember the patient's condition on your arrival at the scene, correct?
Yes, sir.
You said he didn't.
I'm sorry, ask the question, ask the and give the answer, right, and then ask him if that's sure. Correct. Let's all do it directly.
Do you remember when you arrived on the scene and when you first approached the patient? Do you remember when you arrived on the scene and when you first approached the patient, was the patient still alive? Your answer was he didn't appear to be, he was unresponsive. Is that your answer you gave back in 2015?
Yes, sir.
So he was not responding to anything when you got there, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And again, you were asked a question on page 9. The patient was not reacting. Your answer was he was totally unresponsive, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's when you arrived on the scene, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you talked about, I think you were you present when Michelle Riley tried to put the tube down his throat?
Yes, sir.
And you said there was a lot of blood coming out of his chest, right?
Not at that point. The blood was sucking from his throat so that we could get a clear path to an airway.
But at some point during that process, blood was coming out of his chest, correct?
That was during chest. That's when we were doing chest compressions.
Okay, when you're doing chest, you were trying to revive him, basically, right?
Yes, sir.
He was dead. You were trying to get him back to life, right?
I'm going to object to the form of the questionnaire because it's
cross-examination, overrule.
You understand the question?
I'm sorry, could you repeat?
Sure. He was dead, and you were trying to get him back, his heart back pumping, right?
At that point, his heart had stopped,
yes.
And we were doing chest compressions, yes, sir.
Exactly. And when you were doing that, blood was coming out of the wound to his chest, right?
I noticed there was a blood was coming. Every time we pushed down on his chest, there was blood coming from a upper...
A wound to his chest?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And when you got to the scene, you didn't find a whole lot of blood on the scene, right?
No.
And there wasn't a whole lot of blood in the ambulance, right?
I don't believe so.
No. The blood was coming out when they were pumping his heart, trying to get him back alive, right?
Yes, sir.
And it was coming out the hole in his chest, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember telling that grand jury on page 13? You were asked, do you recall whether there was any pulse or other signs of life upon arrival at the hospital or whether your answer was no? We never got spontaneous circulation. We never got, I don't believe so, no.
That's correct.
The next question was, okay, he was deceased by the time you arrived at the hospital and your answer was yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have nothing.
Anything else to?
Yes, sir.
Could I have the attorneys over here, and could you come over here, please, too?
Interesting testimony here from this paramedic at the time Laquan McDonald was shot on that fateful night in October 2014, talking about what he did when he arrived at the scene. When the prosecution first asked him questions, he indicated that he felt Laquan McDonald had some sort of a heart rate rhythm. They started doing CPR, chest compressions in the ambulance, and then his partner continued as they drove to the hospital now, but with defense cross-examination and based on his previous testimony in front of a grand jury, this paramedic is stating that initially when he came onto the scene, he didn't really detect anything. And it was his feeling that by the time they arrived at the hospital, Laquan McDonald was deceased. So what they're trying to work with that, prove with that, we'll have to wait and see. Also, one thing we weren't able to tell you earlier was yesterday the judge had dismissed the testimony of an FBI expert, but he's going to be recalled now that they've made some changes in what will be allowed in terms of his testimony. But we'll continue to listen in.
Mr. Cohn.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Smith, you testified on cross-examination that when you arrived on the scene, there were no apparent signs of life?
That's correct. He was unresponsive.
But then did you put monitors on him to see if you could find some less apparent signs?
We started our care, yes.
And did you find that he actually did have signs of life?
He had a pulse.
So, meaning his heart was beating?
Yes, sir.
And when he arrived at the hospital, his heart was not beating, is that correct?
That's correct.
But were paramedics still doing CPR?
Yes, sir.
And when a person's heart stops, can that person still survive?
There's objection.
You'd have to qualify him about that.
But he was taken to the emergency room for care. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Mr. Rupert, anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Firefighter Smith, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, State, could you call your next witness, please?
Your Honor, I'm called Greg Great.
Employed
by the Illinois State Police Forensic Science Command, currently at the Forensic Science Center in Chicago.
How long have you been employed by the Illinois State Police?
Since July of 1987, so a little over 31 years.
And in what capacity are you employed?
Currently, I am a forensic firearms examiner.
And during your entire 31 years with the Illinois State Police, have you always been a forensic scientist?
I have been a forensic scientist the whole time. I have not been a forensic firearms examiner the whole time.
And when you first started with the state police, what field were you in?
I was a forensic scientist specializing in drug chemistry.
And so how long were you in the drug chemistry division?
Approximately 24 years.
And then how, when was it, what year that you changed to firearms?
I completed a two-year training program in firearms identification with the Illinois State Police in the end of November of 2013, and have been a firearms examiner since then.
Now, sir, what is your educational background?
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry from the University of Illinois.
And have you had specialized training in firearms?
Yes, as I said, I've completed a two-year training program with the Illinois State Police.
And that two-year training program, did that include in-house training and then training outside of the Illinois State Police?
It mainly consisted of training within the state police, including lectures, roundtable discussions, practical exercises. Also, during that time frame, I completed a serial number restoration training with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I also attended several tours of firearms, tool, and ammunition manufacturers.
And are you a member of any professional organizations?
Yes, I'm a member of the Association of Firearms and Toolmarks Examiners. I'm also a member of the Midwest Association of Forensic Scientists and the Southern Association of Forensic Scientists.
Now, sir, have you ever testified as an expert in the area of firearms identification?
Yes, I have.
Approximately how many times?
10.
Was that both in state and federal court?
Yes, once in federal court, the rest was in state court.
Now, besides that, your first 24 years with the Illinois State Police, had you testified in court in that capacity?
Yes, approximately 40 times as a forensic drug chemist.
Now, sir, can you explain for the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what is firearms identification?
Firearms identification is a discipline of forensic science that has as its main concern whether a bullet, cartridge case, or other ammunition component was fired from a particular firearm.
And how is it that you make a determination if a bullet or a cartridge case has been fired from a particular firearm?
This is done through direct comparison of the evidence to each other or to test shots using a comparison microscope.
Now, sir, when you say cartridge case, is it the same thing that is commonly called a shell casing?
Yes, they're the same thing.
And how is it that you actually make a comparison?
It's, like I said, it's through direct comparison of the evidence to other evidence or to the test shot using a comparison microscope.
And is there something called class characteristics?
Yes. What we're looking for are similarity in the reproduction of class and individual characteristics.
And how is it that you can make a determination regarding class characteristics?
Excuse me. The main thing that we're looking for is the similarity in the reproduction of class and individual characteristics.
And is that done by looking at lands and grooves?
It is on bullets. It's generally comparing individual characteristics that are found that are left on the fired evidence from the firearm.
Okay, and can you explain to the jury what are lands and grooves?
Yes, lands and grooves are raised and lowered areas that are cut or impressed lengthwise in the interior of a barrel, and they twist down that barrel like the stripes of a candy cane or a barbershop pole. The raised areas are called lands, the lowered areas are called grooves. And rifling would refer to the number of these lands and grooves in the barrel and the direction with which they twist down the barrel. They can twist either to the right or to the left.
And if you have a particular firearm and you fire more than one bullet, will they have the same lands and grooves on the different bullets?
Two bullets fired from the same firearm will have the same class characteristics or the same number of lands and grooves on them, yes.
And do you also get these characteristics on the shell casings or cartridge cases?
No, those are actually marked from a different part of the firearm.
And what is that?
The main thing we're looking at, or class characteristics on those, would be the firing pin impression shape and the overall breech face pattern.
And how is it that you look at that information on your fired shell casing?
Again, we use a comparison microscope. We can, by the way, a comparison microscope is essentially two compound microscopes, which are connected by an optical bridge, which allows the person to look at two items side by side at the same time under the same magnification.
And, sir,
I was just going to say, so that is the instrument that we use to compare the bullets and the cartridge cases.
And how many comparisons have you done since you have been trained as a firearms identification expert?
I don't know an exact number. It would be over 1,000.
Now, is it always possible to make an identification?
No, it's not. Sometimes the bullets or the cartridge cases may be damaged after they've been fired from the firearm. Sometimes there's just not enough individual characteristics on the fired evidence to compare back to the firearm.
Your Honor, at this time the state would tender Mr. Brait as an expert in firearms identification.
Okay. I find that Mr. Brait is qualified to testify as an expert in the area of forensic firearms identification. Proceed, State.
Thank you. Now, sir, in this particular case, did you receive certain items to examine?
Yes, I did.
And first I'm going to show you what I had previously in regards to People's Exhibit Number 1 for identification. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And how do you recognize it?
I recognize it by our laboratory case number, my initials, and the exhibit number, and the date that I received it.
So once you receive that firearm, what do you do with the firearm?
After bringing it to my work area and making sure that all the paperwork was in proper order, I opened the case up and recorded several characteristics of the firearm, including make, model, caliber, rifling of it, the serial number.
After that, what's the next step that you do in examination?
After that, I test-fired the firearm using laboratory ammunition.
Now, did you also receive, when you received the People's Exhibit Number 1, People's 3 and 4 with the firearm?
Yes, I did.
And what are those?
Those are two magazines that came with the firearm.
And at the time that you received their firearm, did one of the magazines contain any bullets?
Not when I received it, no.
Okay. And then People's Number 2, did you receive that along with the gun and the magazine?
Yes, I did.
And what's in People's Number 2?
Inside, this contains 15 unfired cartridges.
And how do you know that it contains 15 unfired cartridges?
Based on the laboratory case number and exhibit number that's on there.
And then after you open this up, you actually put the markings on the exhibit, is that correct?
On that particular one, I put it on the outer packaging.
And then you seal it?
And then, yes, then I resealed it.
And then People's Exhibit
I'm sorry, is that 230?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
These are the test fire cartridge cases and bullets, which I created using that firearm.
Okay, so where did these test fires, the bullets, come from?
It's ammunition that we have in the laboratory. Basically, the procedure is I mark them with my laboratory case number, the date, or my laboratory case number, the initials, and exhibit number on the cartridge case and the bullets, and I then fire them with that firearm in a water tank, and then recover the bullets and the cartridge cases.
And then the bullets that you recover in the cartridge cases, is that what you're using to compare to any other evidence that you receive?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, I'm going to show you what has previously been admitted as People's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 26, and 27. Would you look at these envelopes and tell me whether or not you recognize them?
That I also received in this case.
And did you have the opportunity to examine each one of these fire cartridge cases?
Yes, I did.
And when you examined the fire cartridge cases, can you tell us how it was that you did that?
After recording some basic information about each of the cartridge cases, such as caliber, firing pin impression shape, overall breech face pattern, I then determined that the class characteristics were the same as the firearm and compared them using a comparison microscope.
And so did you have an opinion after you completed your examination as to whether these, well, strike it, what's actually contained in these exhibits?
Each one of the envelopes contains a fire cartridge case.
And the same thing as shell casing?
Yes.
So, and you had 16 shell casings, correct?
Correct.
And after you completed your examination of the 16 shell casings, did you have an opinion on whether or not they were fired or fired from each exhibit number one?
Yes, I did.
And what was that opinion?
Based on my comparison of the evidence to each other, particularly the breech face patterns on the primers, I determined that they were all fired from the same firearm.
And that would be
the
number one, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And sir, can you just open people's number 12? Here's some gloves.
Originally, I put the laboratory case number, my initials, and the exhibit number on it.
And see the cartridge case on this monitor in front of you?
shell casing actually looks like, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that's one of the ones that you examined that you just took out of people's number 12?
Correct.
Now, besides receiving shell casings, did you also receive bullets and bullet fragments?
Yes, I did.
Now, I'm going to show you what has been marked as people's 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, and 62. Would you look at those books and tell me whether or not you recognize those?
Exhibits 13, what I call 13-1 through 13-5, which would have been people's exhibits 57, 56, 55, 54, and 53, all contained fired bullets.
And what did the other fired exhibits contain?
My exhibit number 13-6 and 7, which would have been people's exhibits 58 and 59, contained fired bullet fragments.
Okay, and what about the other two, or three?
These three, which were my exhibit number 13, 8, 9, and 10, people's exhibits 60, 61, and 62, contained metal fragments.
So with the five bullets that you received, did you do an examination on these bullets?
Yes, I did.
And can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what it was that you did to examine these five fired bullets?
Again, after documenting the various information about them, such as caliber, width of the lands and groove impressions, and other various information, I did a comparison of those bullets to the test-fired bullets, which I created.
And with these five bullets, did you arrive at any opinion?
Yes, I did.
And what was that opinion?
That those five bullets also were fired from the firearm that I received in that case.
And that's people's number one that I showed you, correct?
Correct.
Now, I'm going to just have you open people's 53, which is your number one.
It because it has my case number, initials, and exhibit number on the bottom of it.
And how is it that you put all those numbers on the back?
I scribed it onto the base of the bullet using a stereoscope, or looking under a stereoscope while I was writing.
And just so the ladies and gentlemen of the jury can see it, can't really read the numbers too well. On the top portion here, you actually have subscribed your markings, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so this is one of the fired bullets that you were able to examine?
Yes.
Okay. And that you indicated came from the people's number one, the gun.
It was fired in the gun, yes.
Now, in response to the other five exhibits, were you able to make any determination regarding the other five exhibits?
The two bullet fragments were inconclusive. I couldn't either identify or eliminate them as having been fired from that particular firearm.
And why was that?
There was some damage to the bullets after leaving the gun, which could have masked some of the individual characteristics.
And do you know, without opening these, are these much smaller than the bullets that I just showed you?
Yes, they were.
Okay. And then with the last three exhibits, which were people 60, 61, and 62, what were those?
They were metal fragments, which I determined were unsuitable for comparison.
And why were they unsuitable for comparison?
They didn't actually have any rifling characteristics on them for me to compare.
And, sir, I'm just going to ask you to open people 61.
I did. It was too small to actually put any markings on.
Okay. And showing the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that's the size of that metal fragment, is that correct?
Yes.
Strike the identification marks from People's 230 and admit it, which was the test-fired shots.
Any objections?
No.
People's number 230 will have the identification marks stricken, and it will be moved into evidence.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Cross-examination.
We have no cross. Thank you, Mr. Craig.
Thank you. You can step down. Appreciate that. Your next witness, Dave.
Judge Sable called Dr. Pani Arukumar.
Doctor, come on and step up on this witness stand, please.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give was honest or injury.
Doctor, have a seat.
Thank you.
The seat is immovable. The microphone's live and adjustable, so if you adjust both of them, speak into the mic, and everybody will be able to hear your testimony. It would be greatly appreciated. So thank you. Proceed, Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Doctor. Would you please state your name, spell your first and last name for the court reporter, please?
I'm Dr. Pani Arunkumar. The first name is spelled P-O-N-N-I. The last name is spelled A-R-U-N-K-U-M-A-R.
Thank you, Doctor. Doctor, what is your occupation?
I'm a forensic pathologist.
And are you also a licensed physician in the state of Illinois?
Yes.
How long have you been licensed to practice medicine?
Since 1999.
And are you currently engaged in the practice of medicine?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a specialization?
Yes.
What is that?
I specialize in forensic pathology.
What does the study of forensic pathology mean?
Forensic pathology is a subspecialty of pathology that deals with the cause and the manner of death when the death is sudden, unexpected, due to violence, or without any medical attendance.
You were trained for this profession, correct?
Yes.
Let's go through your training. Where did you receive your training in forensic pathology?
I received my training in forensic pathology at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office.
And before you started your training in forensic pathology at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, did you attend medical school?
Yes.
Where did you attend medical school?
I attended medical school at Bangalore Medical School in South India. I graduated from medical school in 1998.
Prior to medical school in India, did you also attend college?
Yes.
And where did you attend college and what degree did you earn?
I attended college or secondary education again in South India at National Public School.
So after you finished college and then medical school, you then participated in a medical fellowship, I understand, correct?
I attended a medical residency.
Can you explain what a medical residency is?
A residency is a specialization in a particular field of medicine. I did my residency in anatomic pathology and clinical pathology.
And where did you complete your residency at?
I completed the residency at Cook County Hospital.
After the residency, then you completed the fellowship?
Yes.
And would you explain what a fellowship is?
Fellowship is a subspecialty certification or training in a field. In my instance, it was in forensic pathology. It was for a period of 1 year where you attend an accredited program, and then after the program, sit for an exam and pass it.
Are you currently on staff, or are you affiliated in any way with any university or academic institution?
Yes.
Which ones?
I'm on staff at Rush University, University of Illinois Chicago, and Northwestern University.
And when you say you're on staff at those institutions, you hold a teaching position at those universities, correct?
Yes.
And what subjects do you teach?
I teach forensic pathology.
And you teach that to who are your students?
I teach pathology residents at the three different universities.
Are you also a member of any specialized medical or scientific groups or associations?
Yes.
Which ones?
I'm a member of the National Association of Medical Examiners, the College of American Pathologists, the American Academy of Forensic Sciences, and the American Society of Clinical Pathologists.
Doctor, I think you indicated this earlier, but again, you're employed at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, correct?
Yes.
When did you start there?
I started in 2003 with my fellowship training.
And when you started in 2003, what were your kind of day-to-day responsibilities?
My day-to-day responsibilities at the time when I started was conducting autopsies, preparing protocols on the autopsies, and testifying in court when needed.
You've worked there continuously since 2003, correct?
Correct.
In 2012, you were promoted, correct?
Yes.
And what were you promoted to in 2012?
I was promoted to the Deputy Chief Medical Examiner position.
And how did your responsibilities change in 2012 when you became the Deputy Chief Medical Examiner?
So along with performing autopsies, preparing protocols, and testifying in court, I had supervisory responsibilities over the pathology department and other science sections of the office.
Currently, you're the chief medical examiner, correct?
Correct.
And you became the chief medical examiner of Cook County when?
In 2016.
And how did your responsibilities change when you became the chief medical examiner?
I took on more administrative responsibilities. I supervise the entire office and communicate with my superiors downtown.
In addition to these administrative and supervision responsibilities, do you continue to personally perform autopsies?
Yes.
What's the basis? How frequent are you performing autopsies?
Currently, as the chief medical examiner, I perform autopsies once a week.
Thank you. Will you explain just generally at this point what an autopsy is for the members of the jury, please?
An autopsy is a detailed examination of a body. It includes an external examination where we look at the height, weight, any identifying marks like tattoos or scars, any evidence of injury. We take photographs, and then if needed, x-rays are taken to document any injuries. After the external examination, an internal examination is performed. This is done by placing a Y-shaped incision on the chest and abdomen, reflecting the skin, reflecting the chest plate, looking at the organs in the chest and abdomen for any injury or disease. Specimens like blood and urine are taken for toxicology examination. An incision is then placed on the head behind one ear to behind the other ear. The skin is reflected and the skull removed for the brain to be looked at for any injury or disease. After the autopsy is performed, we come to a conclusion as to the cause of death and the manner of death.
Doctor, now you used kind of two terms I'm going to want you to explain. The first one was the, I think you said a Y-shaped incision, correct?
Correct.
And so that just literally means cutting open the kind of the chest plate of the body in a Y shape and then down the middle of the abdomen.
Yes.
And then when you used a term reflecting the skin, I believe you said, correct?
Yes.
Can you explain for the jury what reflecting the skin means?
Reflecting the skin refers to peeling the skin away from the rib cage.
And that's so you can see inside the body?
Yes.
Thank you. Doctor, during your professional experience, how many autopsies have you personally performed?
I've performed more than 1,000 autopsies so far.
Doctor, how many other pathologists report to you at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office?
19 other pathologists report to me.
And I think you testified earlier that in addition to your administrative responsibilities, the autopsies that you perform on a weekly basis, you supervise those other 19 pathologists.
Yes.
And each of those other 19 pathologists are physicians who have specialized in forensic pathology, correct?
Correct.
On occasion, do you assist the other pathologists in your office in the performance of autopsies that they are performing?
Yes.
Okay. How frequently do you do that?
About 3 to 4 times a week. If they have a question about a case that they're performing an autopsy on, I'll go down and look at the case.
How many cases on a yearly basis are referred to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office for review?
Around 6,300 cases are referred to our office that become medical examiner cases. The office receives a total of about 13,000 calls of death or death notifications. We review all these notifications and determine that around 6,300 of these come under our jurisdiction.
And so when a case is referred to your office and it falls within your jurisdiction, what do you do with that case?
Once a case is determined to fall under our jurisdiction, the investigator who takes the call prepares a report of the circumstances of death. If needed, the investigator goes to the scene of the death. After the investigator's report is written, the body is then comes to our office, to the intake section of the department, and is kept in the cooler. The next day, usually, the pathologist reviews the case and performs the autopsy.
And so of those approximately 13,000 cases that come to your office, is an autopsy performed on all 13,000, or is that broken down somehow?
So out of the 13,000, 6,300 become medical examiner cases, and of the 6,300, we perform autopsies on about 65% of the cases, which is about 3,500 cases.
How many of those autopsies are of deaths caused by either gunshot or multiple gunshots?
Percentage of cases that have been gunshot wound homicides has varied from 13% to 15% of the cases coming to our office. In 2016, we had 805 gunshot homicide cases. In 2017, there were 740, or around 740 gun homicide cases. This number is more than both New York and Los Angeles put together.
Doctor, do you have medical examiners on duty every single day of the year, right?
Yes.
Doctor, you're board certified as well, correct?
Yes.
What is the American Board of Pathology?
It is a board that oversees the certification process for the different specialties in pathology.
Does a board certified applicant have to take a special examination that is given and then reviewed by the board before the applicant becomes certified as a specialist in the field of pathology, forensic pathology?
Yes.
And that board certification by the American Board of Pathology is above and beyond your license to practice medicine?
Yes.
And is that board certification conducted on a national basis?
Yes.
Doctor, are you the author of any research in the field of forensic pathology?
Yes.
What is or what was the nature of that research?
I've published on multiple self-inflicted gunshot wounds to the head, child abuse deaths in Cook County, opiate deaths and asthma, undiagnosed cardiac deaths that lead to sudden death in our office. So these are a depressed fracture in a person with Paget's disease. So these are more the forensic pathology related topics that I've published on.
And then have you also made presentations to your colleagues in professional groups in the field of forensic pathology?
Yes.
What was the nature of those presentations?
The presentations included the opiate deaths and asthma. Participated in presenting on hypothermia and kidney changes, the child abuse deaths in Cook County, self-immolation deaths as well.
Doctor, I think earlier you told us an estimate of the number of autopsies that you have personally performed. In your experience, approximately how many of those autopsies that you performed were autopsies where the findings was cause of death was gunshot?
Around 20% of those cases.
Have you been qualified and declared as an expert in the field of forensic pathology in other courts in the state of Illinois?
Yes.
Approximately how many times?
Approximately 150 times.
Thank you. Your Honor, at this time the people would move that Dr. Pani Arukumar be declared an expert in the field of forensic pathology.
No objection. Thank you. I find that Dr. Arukumar is qualified to testify as an expert in the area of forensic pathology. Proceed today.
Thank you, George. Dr. Arukumar, was an autopsy performed at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office on the body of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
Who performed that autopsy?
The autopsy was performed by Dr. Danica Means.
And when did Dr. Means perform the autopsy?
She performed the autopsy on October 21st, 2014.
And who is Dr. Means?
Dr. Means is a board-certified forensic pathologist who was in the office in 2014.
Is she still employed at the office?
No, she left the office.
Do you know why she left the Cook County Medical Examiner's office?
She left to go to Texas for family reasons.
Do you know if Dr. Means is still a forensic pathologist in the state of Texas?
Yes.
Is she?
Yes.
Did Dr. Means prepare a report of examination for the autopsy of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And did you review that report in preparation for your testimony today?
Yes.
Is it normal in your practice in the field of forensic pathology and as the chief medical examiner for Cook County to examine the medical charts and records prepared by other medical professionals, including the assistant medical examiners?
Yes.
And Dr. Means was an assistant medical examiner when she performed the autopsy of Laquan McDowell, correct?
Correct.
Doctor, what else did you review from the autopsy records of Laquan McDonald in preparation for your testimony today?
I reviewed the autopsy report, the investigator's report, the toxicology report, the photographs that were taken during the autopsy, the radiographs that were taken, and the scene photos, the videos that were given to me as well.
Did you also review reports of other forensic pathologists?
Yes.
So you reviewed Dr. Means' reports?
Yes.
Any other forensic pathologists?
I reviewed reports that were authored by Dr. Mazikowski and Dr. Tease.
These other pathologists, Dr. Mazikowski?
Yes.
How do you know Dr. Mazikowski?
He's the director at the Armed Forces Medical Examiner System.
He's also a forensic pathologist with the Department of Defense?
Yes.
And Dr. Tease, how do you know Dr. Tease?
Dr. Tease is a private forensic pathologist in Illinois.
After reviewing the report of Dr. Means, Dr. Mazikowski, and Dr. Tease, and then the other items that you talked about, the photos taken during the autopsy, the x-rays, you said the toxicology reports, the investigator's report, crime scene photos in the video, are you able to determine the cause of death to Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
What was it?
The cause of death is multiple gunshot wounds.
How many gunshot wounds were medically documented on the body of Laquan McDonald?
There were 16 gunshot wounds to the body of Laquan McDonald.
Let's talk about the autopsy of Laquan McDonald. Who was present for the autopsy of Laquan McDonald?
There was an autopsy technician who would assist Dr. Means, a photographer taking the pictures, and there was an investigator from the Independent Police Review Agency, Daniel Corman. I'm going to refer to my notes for accuracy.
Just so the record's clear, Your Honor, or Doctor, you have notes and reports that are in front of you, correct?
Correct.
And it would assist you to be able to refer to your notes and records from time to time during your testimony today?
Yes.
Judge, with your permission, may she review and refer to her notes from time to time during her testimony?
Yeah, I'm assuming these are the notes that we've received in discovery.
Yes.
No check.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Doctor. Who was present for the autopsy of Laquan McDonald?
The investigator from the City of Chicago Independent Police Review Authority was Daniel Cobell.
Was there anyone else at the autopsy?
There was an evidence technician who would take the evidence from the doctor as she performs the autopsy.
So Dr. Means would perform the autopsy, collect evidence, and then hand it over to an evidence technician from the Chicago Police Department?
Yes.
And that individual, that person is a separate individual than the, I think you said, gentleman from the Independent Police Review Authority who was also there observing the autopsy, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. How was the autopsy of Laquan McDonald conducted?
The autopsy is conducted by the doctor after she reviews the investigator's report. Then she does an external examination. Photographs and radiographs are taken during this process. During the external examination, she notes the clothing on the body, clothing that accompanies the body, any scars or tattoos that identify the person, what the height and weight of the person is, and then what the evidences of injury are on the body. After the external examination, after documenting all of that, an internal examination is conducted where the chest plate is reflected and the organs are looked at for injury or disease. Specimens like blood and urine are taken during the autopsy for toxicology examination as well.
Was there evidence of, I think what is referred to as called medical therapy on the body of Laquan McDonald?
Yes, there were multiple evidences of therapy that was seen on Laquan.
And just what does that mean kind of in layperson terms? What's medical therapy?
Medical therapy is any evidence of, for example, intravenous catheters or any surgery that was performed to resuscitate or revive the subject.
All of that would have been administered or applied by medical personnel, whether it's paramedics or emergency room personnel, at or on the way to a hospital.
Yes.
So that that evidence of medical therapy is still with the body of Laquan McDonald, and Dr. Meeks documented that in her report.
Yes.
Thank you. How were the injuries documented on the body of Laquan McDonald?
The injuries were documented from top to bottom, meaning from head to toe, and from the front of the body and then to the back of the body.
Is that an appropriate method to document injuries during an autopsy examination?
Yes.
Does everybody do it that way?
Some people may document injuries differently. Most of us go from top, head to toe, front to back.
Let's go into some detail about the autopsy. What were the injuries to the body of Laquan McDonald?
The injuries included multiple gunshot wounds. There were also some abrasions on the face, shoulder, chest, and abdomen, and one of the on the right wrist and hand of Laquan.
There were 16 gunshot wounds to the body of Laquan, correct?
Correct.
Before we start going through those, each of the gunshot wounds has been assigned a number, correct?
Correct.
Does the number that has been assigned to the gunshot wound mean that that is the order that the gunshots were inflicted to the body?
No.
So it's just an assignment of a number for tracking purposes.
Yes, and they're usually assigned from head to toe, so the numbers are going from head to the bottom.
Are you able to determine the order of the bullets that hit and struck Laquan McDonald?
No.
And why not?
The subject is usually in constant motion, as the shooter is also, so it's difficult to say what position or how the gunshot wounds were received or the order in which the gunshot wounds were received. Sometimes you can say, is it consistent with the person standing or laying on the ground, but the sequence of the injuries is hard to determine.
Today you're making no opinion about the sequence of the gunshot wounds, correct?
Correct.
Is the inability to determine the order of gunshot wounds, is that unique to this case involving Laquan McDonald?
No. In most instances, it's hard to determine the sequence of the gunshot wounds that are present on the body.
Meeting, I showed you a series of photographs and x-rays that are marked People's Exhibit 122 through 170 inclusive, correct?
Correct.
Just take a moment and verify.
photographs and x-rays taken during the autopsy of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And you reviewed and relied on those photographs and those x-rays in reviewing the records and reaching your conclusions today, correct?
Correct.
I would offer people's exhibits number 122 through 170 for identification and evidence.
Any objections?
No objections.
All right, the identification marks will be stricken. They will be moved into evidence at this time.
And then I would ask to be able to publish photos as we move through the various gunshot wounds.
Certainly that would be sustained.
Doctor, let's talk about gunshot wound number one, okay?
Okay.
Where is it located?
The gunshot wound number one was on the head or the scalp on the left side. It was a gunshot grazed wound. It was 1.5 inches beneath the top of the head and about 1/2 inch in front of the top of the left ear. It was 1/4 inch deep and went to the fascia overlying the skull. The direction of this gunshot grazed wound was difficult to determine. This caused bleeding under the scalp. And once the skull was reflected, there was bleeding over the brain, over the left temporal and parietal lobes of the brain. There was thin subarachnoid hemorrhage that was seen.
Already seeing autopsy photos here, so just a warning, if this is not something you're comfortable seeing, we advise you turn away because this will probably be continuing for a time as Cook County's Chief Medical Examiner, Dr. Pani Arunkumar, testifies on the Laquan McDonald autopsy.
Gunshot wound number one?
Yes.
And you indicated in your testimony a moment ago that the gunshot wound, you used the term fascia.
Yes.
Describe what fascia is.
Fascia is the tissue that is beneath the scalp.
And did the gunshot wound penetrate the fascia?
Yes.
You also indicated that the brain was examined as part of the autopsy, correct?
Correct.
So in addition to the injuries that you can see in People's Exhibit 122, what, if any, injuries were observed on the brain?
There was subarachnoid hemorrhage or bleeding beneath the membrane or the subarachnoid membrane that covers the brain.
What's the significance of that, Doctor?
So there was injury to the brain due to this gunshot grazed wound to the left side of the head.
Were you able to determine the direction of gunshot wound number one?
No.
Why not?
It is a grazed wound. The skin tears were not easily seen, so it is hard to give a direction of that gunshot wound.
Was a bullet recovered from gunshot wound number one?
No.
Did gunshot wound number one cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
Are you able to determine if Laquan McDonald was alive when he was shot in the head?
Yes, he was alive.
Judge, I'm going to object based on the evidence. Sounds like it's coming in that this is her personal opinion. She's basing this on observation 100% of Dr. Means in this case.
I'll allow you wide latitude on cross-examination, but overrule at this time.
Was Laquan McDonald alive when he was shot in the head?
Yes.
Is there evidence to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the head?
No.
Why not?
He could be standing or moving. There's nothing to say what position he was when he received the gunshot wound.
Was the depth of gunshot wound number one, People's Exhibit number 122, was the depth of the wound measured?
Yes.
What was the depth of the wound?
The depth was quarter inch.
That'd be a quarter inch below the surface of the skin, is that correct?
That is correct.
Let's talk about gunshot wound number two. Where's gunshot wound number two located?
The second evidence of injury was a gunshot wound to the base of the neck on the left side. This was about 11 inches beneath the top of the head and measured 3 by 16 inch. It did go through the skin, the tissue beneath the skin, goes through the muscles on the left side of the neck. It went through the trachea and then into the muscles on the right side of the neck. Finally, a medium caliber copper jacketed bullet was recovered from the right supraspinatus muscle and handed over, photographed and given to the police department.
Doctor, I'm going to show you what has been marked as People's Exhibit 123. You see that in the screen in front of you?
Yes.
What is shown in People's Exhibit 123?
This is a photograph of the left chest, left side of the neck, and lower left face of the deceased. There, just about the gray tag, there is a gunshot wound of entrance, which is referred to as gunshot wound number two. It is it has a rim of abrasion or scraping of skin around it, which makes it an entrance wound.
You can see in 123, there's a couple wounds that are shown in that exhibit, correct?
That is correct.
We're talking about just one of them at this time right now.
Yes.
Could you just circle, and if you just touch the screen in front of you, just circle the one that we're talking about, please? Thank you. And that circle is placed just above that gray tag. That's used by the medical examiner's office.
Yes.
You talked about a rim, could you call it a rim of abrasion?
Yes.
What's the significance of that rim of abrasion?
A rim of abrasion occurs as the bullet enters the skin. It scrapes it, causing that rim of abrasion, which is a characteristic of entrance wounds. Exit wounds, as the bullet is coming out of the body, it does not scrape the skin usually, so the exit wounds are kind of torn and usually will not have a rim of abrasion around it.
You indicated earlier that after the bullet entered Laquan's left side of his neck, that it traveled into his body, correct?
Correct.
What other structures of the body were injured from gunshot wound number two?
The bullet injured the muscles on the left side of the neck. It injured the trachea and the muscles on the right side of the neck and eventually lodged in the right supraspinatus muscle, which is a muscle in the upper back area close to the scapula.
Doctor, I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit number 124. What's shown in one?
This is a chest radiograph of the deceased Laquan. In this radiograph, one can see some electrocardiogram leads, which are the circular marks. And on the right side, there is a bullet close to the overlying the collarbone. This was the bullet that corresponded to the bullet entering the left side of the neck.
All right, so you referred to some electronic devices, right?
Yes.
Those are just tabs put on Laquan during his medical treatment, correct?
Correct.
Could you just touch those two things, and I think the device will place a dot on those items. So you identified three things on the X-ray, correct?
Correct.
And they're each marked with that pink dot. Now, you also talked about the X-ray revealing the presence of a bullet inside Laquan, correct?
Correct.
Would you circle that on People's Exhibit number 124? People's Exhibit 125. What is 125, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the medium caliber copper jacketed bullet that was recovered from the right supraspinatus muscle that corresponded to the entrance wound on the left neck.
So that bullet in 125 is the bullet that you circled on the x-ray in 124 up at this location, right?
Yes.
What did Dr. Means do with the bullet after she recovered the bullet during the autopsy?
After the bullet was recovered, it was photographed, sealed in a labeled envelope, and given to the representative from the Chicago Police Department.
Were there other injuries associated with gunshot wound number two?
There was injuries to the trachea and the muscles and hemorrhage and pulpification along the bullet wound track.
So, one at a time, what's hemorrhage mean?
Hemorrhage is bleeding in the area of the bullet wound.
And pulpification is what?
Is destruction and softening of the tissue, meaning reduced to like a pulp as the bullet went through the structures in the neck and chest.
So the wound track from its entrance point to the resting point where the bullet is recovered, that wound track is examined, correct?
Yes.
And those observations that you just told us about, the hemorrhage and the pulpification, those were the specific observations of the injuries inside the wound track?
Yes.
Was the direction of gunshot wound two determined?
Yes.
What was that direction?
The direction of the wound path was left to right, slightly front to back, and slightly downward as well.
Did gunshot wound number two cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
And is there sufficient evidence to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the neck?
No.
Let's talk about gunshot wound number three. Would you describe this wound, please?
The third evidence of injury was a gunshot wound to the left chest. This wound measure was ovoid, close to the gunshot wound that was just described. It measured half by half inch, and it did have a rim of abrasion around it. The bullet then perforated the skin, the tissue beneath the skin. It goes through the left pectoralis muscle, which is a muscle in the left chest wall. It then goes to the left lateral back and the back of the left arm, and then exits on the back of the left arm. So it entered the left chest and exits the back of the left arm.
Doctor, I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 126. What does 126 show us?
This is a photograph of the left chest of the deceased, showing a gunshot wound number three, just above the gray tag. It is close to gunshot wound number two to the left neck.
You talked about the rim of abrasion. There's evidence of a rim of abrasion on gunshot wound number three as well, correct?
Yes, there is a rim of abrasion around it, and it is eccentric, meaning the bullet entered at a slight angle, which corresponds to the entrance on the left chest and the exit on the back of the left arm.
Was the track, the wound track of gunshot wound number three documented?
Yes.
What was the track of the gunshot wound number three?
So it goes through the left pectoralis muscle, the muscles in the left lateral back, and the muscles of the left upper arm, and then the tissue and skin of the left upper arm. And then there was the gunshot exit wound on the back of the left arm.
Let me show you People's Exhibit number 127. What is shown in People's Exhibit 127?
This is the photograph of the upper left back and back of the left arm, showing a gunshot exit on the back of the left arm that corresponded to the entrance wound on the left chest. There is a little bit of abrasion around this wound on the left arm. This was regular or concentric.
Now, 127, People's Exhibit 127, like one of the earlier photographs, it actually shows a couple different injuries or wounds to the body of Laquan McDonald, correct?
Correct.
And the one that you're talking about here is the gunshot wound that's above that gray tag with the ME number 2014-01071, correct?
Correct.
Get from the chest to the left upper arm.
So the bullet entered the chest at an angle, which is noted in that entrance wound on the left chest, and then it goes through the muscles and comes out the left arm. So the course is front to back and downward and right to left.
The gunshot wound number 3 caused Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the left chest?
No.
Why not?
There is no evidence to say if he was standing or on the ground. There's no injuries around it to say in what position the person would have been. It is possible he was standing, but I cannot say for sure.
Let's talk about gunshot wound number 4. Where was gunshot wound number 4, and would you describe that, please?
The fourth gunshot wound was on the chest as well. This was on the right chest and measured 3 by 16 inch. It was about 10 inches beneath the top of the head.
I'm going to show you what I marked as People's Exhibit 128. Is that shown in People's Exhibit 128?
This is a photograph of the chest of the deceased. It does have a lot of injuries on the chest. Gunshot wound number 4 is the wound just above the gray tag. This was a gunshot wound of entrance on the right chest.
There's a significant incision across the chest of the body of Laquan McDonald displayed in 128, correct?
Correct.
What's the cause of that incision?
The incision was placed by medical personnel. It was a thoracotomy incision that was placed to resuscitate or revive him.
There's some other injuries that are shown on the right shoulder of Laquan and then on the right chest of Laquan. I'm going to come back to those later. Okay, so what I'd like to do is talk about the gunshot wound above the gray tag on the right side of Laquan's chest. What was the cause of that wound?
The wound was caused by a bullet entering the right chest.
And did this wound have what you called a circumferential dry red-brown marginal abrasion?
Yes.
What's the significance of that?
This signifies that this wound is consistent with a gunshot entrance wound.
This People's Exhibit 129. This is another x-ray, correct?
Correct.
And what does the x-ray in 129 show us?
This shows where the bullet path, it entered the right chest, goes through the right lung, it goes through the two lobes of the right lung, and goes and lodges in the right latissimus dorsi muscle, which is a muscle in the upper right back of the deceased. There are two bullets that can be seen on the right chest. The first one, the upper one I just described, this was the one that that coincides or corresponds to the gunshot wound to the base of the neck. The bullet under it is the one that corresponds to the gunshot entrance wound on the right chest.
Okay, so we're talking about gunshot wound number 4 to the right chest. Would you circle the bullet that you're talking about that was recovered from the body of Laquan McDonald? Thank you. And that's just, as I'm looking at, or as we're looking at the x-ray, that's the bullet on the very left edge of the x-ray, correct?
Correct.
Did Dr. Means remove that bullet?
Yes.
What did you do with that bullet?
The bullet was photographed, placed in a sealed and labeled envelope, and given to a representative from the Chicago Police Department.
Can I show you what I marked as People's Exhibit 130? What is that?
This is a photograph of the deformed medium caliber copper jacketed bullet that was recovered from the right back muscle that corresponded to that entrance wound on the right chest that we just saw.
Are there other injuries associated with gunshot wound number 4?
The bullet did go through the lobes of the right lung. There was about 40 ml of residual blood. There was surgery that was performed already before the body was received. So there was blood in the chest cavity and hemorrhage along the wound track as well.
Direction of gunshot wound number 4?
The wound course or direction was front to back, left to right, and slightly downward.
And did this gunshot wound cause Laquan to lose blood?
Yes.
Are you able to determine if Laquan McDonald was standing when he was shot in the right chest?
No.
I'm going to go back to the x-ray that we just looked at here for a moment. Showing you again People's Exhibit 129. Were there fractures associated with this gunshot wound?
Yes, there was a fracture as it entered the chest of the right fourth rib. It enters through the right fourth rib and the right fourth intercostal muscle, which is a muscle between two ribs. And then it goes out through the sixth intercostal space without fracturing a rib.
You indicate with a dot on the x-ray which is the, I'm going to just call it the fourth rib and the sixth rib. So the two points that it entered and exited, if you would indicate that on the diagram.
So it entered through the fourth rib anteriorly. It exits through the sixth intercostal space, so it did not fracture a rib as such.
And are you able to observe with your eye a fracture to the fourth rib or a fracture to the ribs?
No, because it shows the back, the x-rays show the back of the ribs, so anterior rib fractures are hard to see.
They just don't show up on an x-ray?
Correct.
If I asked you this question already, are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right chest?
No.
Let's talk about the fifth gunshot wound. Describe this one, please.
The fifth gunshot wound was a gunshot wound of entrance to the left elbow. This wound was 12 and 3/4 inches from the top of the left shoulder. It measured 5 by 16 inch, and it did have a dark circumferential margin of abrasion around it that measured 1 by 16 inch.
Doctor, I'm going to show you what I marked as People's Exhibit 131. What is People's Exhibit 131 show?
This is a photograph of the left elbow of the deceased. There are two wounds above that gray tag. These are two bullets that entered the left elbow. The upper wound is gunshot entrance wound number 5 that entered the elbow. It goes through the muscles in the area. It fractures the left humerus and then exits on the exits the body as well.
How are you able to determine that there are actually two separate gunshot wounds shown in People's Exhibit 131?
If one looks closely at the photograph, you can see there are two circular defects. There is a thin skin bridge or a sliver of skin that separates the two circular wounds.
So the one that we're talking about here is, could you just circle the one that you're talking about, please?
So it's the upper one, which is gunshot wound number 5.
And then you talked about a skin bridge. Would you point out where the skin bridge is on the screen?
I'm going to just mark the skin bridge.
So you put a line between the two gunshot wounds?
Yes.
And under the line is a kind of a ribbon of skin that physically distinguishes and separates between the two gunshot wounds?
Yes.
But we're going to talk about the top one here, okay?
Yes. That gunshot wound goes through the skin, the tissue beneath the skin. It perforates the left humerus, which is the bone in the left arm, and then it goes through the muscles and comes out of the left upper arm, causing a lacerated gunshot wound of exit, which was irregular, that measured 1/2 inch.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 132. This is an x-ray of the left elbow area, correct?
Correct.
Can you explain what is shown on People's Exhibit 132?
This is an x-ray of the left lower arm and left forearm of the deceased. In this radiograph, one can see the fractures to the left humerus. It's the lower end of the left humerus in the elbow.
And again, would you circle that, please?
Yes.
So on 132, there's actually two radiographs, two x-rays, correct?
Correct.
And as you look at the x-ray, you circle the upper right portion of the right hand x-ray.
Yes.
And that part of the body is the left elbow, correct?
Correct.
What else is noted about gunshot wound number 5?
The gunshot wound number 5 goes through the muscles in the left elbow and left arm area, fractures the distal left humerus, and there's hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract through the elbow and arm.
Is there an exit wound associated with gunshot wound number 5?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 133. What does 133 show us?
This is a photograph of the left arm, left elbow, and left forearm of the deceased. Just above the gray tag, there is an irregular wound, which is the gunshot wound of exit that corresponds to the entrance on the left elbow.
What was the direction of the wound track associated or identified from gunshot wound number 5?
The direction is left to right, back to front, and slightly upward.
Did gunshot wound number 5 cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the left elbow?
No.
Now, you reviewed Dr. T's, you reviewed her autopsy report, correct?
Correct.
You reviewed that in preparation of your testimony today?
Yes.
Did Dr. T's describe this wound as a superficial wound?
Yes.
Is gunshot wound number 5 a superficial wound?
No. It goes through muscle, it goes through bone, so this would not be referred to as a superficial wound.
Talk about gunshot wound number 6. Would you describe this wound, please?
The 6th evidence of injury was a gunshot wound to the back of the right upper arm. There are two wounds, again, close to each other. The lower one is gunshot wound number 6. This goes through the skin, the tissue beneath the skin, goes through the muscles of the right upper arm. It perforates or fractures the right humerus, which is the bone in the right arm, and exits through the medial or inner surface of the right upper arm. There's an exit wound that measures 1 by 16 by 5 by 16 inch.
So in front of you is People's Exhibit 134, correct?
Correct.
And does 134, is that a photograph of gunshot wound number 6 to the right upper arm?
Yes.
Now, you just testified that there's actually 2 gunshot wounds within that wound that is showing there, correct?
Correct.
Would you identify a skin bridge within that wound?
Yes.
And what's the significance of the skin bridge within the wound that's shown on 134?
It shows that there are 2 bullets entering the back of the right arm. The gunshot wound number 6 is the lower wound in this wound complex. There is another wound that is described later in the report.
So we'll come to the other wound. But gunshot wound number 6 is the bottom portion of the wound that we're looking at in 134.
Yes.
And you can distinguish between the 2 wounds how?
There is a skin bridge that separates the wounds, and there are separate wound tracks and separate exit wounds that match these 2 entrance wounds that are close to each other.
And if you would, like you did earlier, would you just draw a line over the skin bridge that you see in 134?
Yes.
Now, the skin bridge that you just marked in 134, the actual outside of the skin is gone, correct?
Correct.
So, what is the skin bridge made of that's shown in 134?
It is pink subcutaneous tissue that separates the 2 wound tracks.
And that pink subcutaneous tissue is where you drew that pink line across that round-shaped wound, correct?
Correct.
So the bottom portion of the wound, is that an entrance wound or an exit wound?
That is an entrance wound.
And how is it that you're able to determine that the bottom portion shown in 134 is an entrance wound?
Looking at the wound closely, it is circular with a rim of abrasion around it, and there is some black clothing material. He did come with a black hooded jacket, so there is some black clothing material that's embedded in this wound as well that makes it an entrance wound.
You said he came with some black clothing. Were you talking about Quan McDonald?
Yes.
Marks People's Exhibit 135. What is 135, Doctor?
This is a photograph of that gunshot exit wound on the medial arm or inner surface of the arm of Laquan. It is irregular and is the exit wound that corresponds to the entrance wound that we just saw.
What's the significance of that wound being irregular?
It denotes that it's more likely an exit wound.
Was there also damage to the bones in this arm?
Yes, the right humerus was fractured, and there was hemorrhage and pulpification along the wound track as well.
And the direction of this gunshot wound was what?
The direction of the wound is back to front, downward, and slightly left to right.
Did this gunshot wound cause Laquan to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right upper arm?
No.
And the reason for that is what?
The subject or Laquan is in constant motion, so it's hard to say if he was standing or falling down or on the ground when he received this wound.
Now, again, I want to ask you about Dr. T's report. Did Dr. Teese also describe gunshot wound number 6
as superficial?
Yes.
And again, is wound number six, the one that went into his arm, broke his bone, through the muscle, out the back side of the arm, or the medial side of the arm, is that a superficial wound?
No.
Why not?
A superficial wound would be a wound that goes just underneath the skin without going through the, structures under, in this case, muscle and bone.
Let's talk about gunshot wound number seven. Would you describe that wound, please?
The seventh evidence of injury was another gunshot wound to the left forearm. This was on the back of the left forearm. It was 19 inches beneath the top of the left shoulder and was ovoid and measured 1 by 4 by 3 by 16 inch. It also had a circumferential dark margin of abrasion around it. And the wound after, or the bullet went through the skin, the tissue beneath the skin, perforates the left radius and the left ulna, which are bones in the left forearm, and exits the left forearm on the inner aspect of the left forearm. There was an exit wound that measured 5 by 16 by 1 by 4 inch.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 136. What is shown in 136, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the back or dorsal aspect of the left forearm of Laquan. Just above or adjacent to the gray tag, there is a circular wound, which is the gunshot entrance wound to the left forearm.
I'll show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 137. That's an X-ray, correct?
Correct.
What is shown in the X-ray that's shown on 137, Doctor?
These are two X-rays placed next to each other. There is an X-ray with the letter L, which is the X-ray of the left forearm. There's an X-ray with the letter R, which is the X-ray of the right forearm. This gunshot was to the left forearm, and there is a break in the bones with a little with little bullet fragments there in the left forearm, which are the fractures to the left radius and left ulna.
So when you're looking at the left arm, the fractures, would you just circle where the fractures are?
Yes.
So that is, it's the left forearm, but as we look at the X-ray, it's the right side up near the top of the X-ray where there's kind of some kind of floating white pieces inside the X-ray, correct?
Correct.
Was there an exit wound associated with gunshot wound number seven?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what I marked as People's Exhibit 138. Would you describe what that is, please?
This is a photograph of the front of the left forearm. Again, shows the irregular exit wound that corresponds to the entrance wound on the back of the left forearm.
Was the direction of this gunshot wound documented and determined?
Yes.
What was it?
The direction is back to front, slightly right to left, and slightly downward.
Did gunshot wound number seven cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the left forearm?
No.
For the same reasons that you've testified earlier, is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Let's talk about gunshot wound number eight. Would you describe gunshot wound number eight, its location, please?
The eighth gunshot wound was on the right upper leg, on the outer portion of the right upper leg in the thigh area. There was a gunshot wound of entrance that was 35 and 9 by 16 inches beneath the top of the head, and it was slightly to the right of the of a midline drawn across the thigh. This wound was circular, measured 1 by 4 or quarter inch in diameter, and did have a margin of abrasion around it. After perforating the skin and the tissue beneath the skin on the right upper leg, the bullet went through the muscles in the right upper leg. It went through the pelvic floor musculature, so it crosses from right to left through the pelvis and then enters the left upper leg. Finally, a deformed copper-jacketed bullet was recovered from the left upper leg.
I'm going to show you what I marked as People's Exhibit 139. What does 139 show?
This is a photograph of the right upper leg or thigh area of the deceased, showing a circular defect on the right thigh, which is just about that gray tag.
And that's the entrance wound for gunshot wound number 8, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit number 140. What is 140, Doctor?
This is an x-ray of the pelvis and right and left upper thighs of the deceased. This x-ray shows the bullet in the left upper leg or thigh area. It is the dark metallic fragment on the left side.
Go ahead and circle that if you would. So as we look at the x-ray, we're looking at it on the right side, but that's actually Laquan's left leg, correct?
Correct, and it is denoted by the letter L on the x-ray.
Right, thank you. Was that bullet recovered during the autopsy?
Yes.
Showing what I've marked as People's Exhibit 141. What is Exhibit 141, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the medium caliber copper jacketed bullet that was recovered from the left upper leg of the deceased.
And Dr. Means, with this bullet, like all the other bullets, photographed it, sealed it, turned it over to a member of the Chicago Police Department?
Yes.
I was an evidence tech that you identified earlier at the autopsy or working there at the medical examiner's office.
Correct.
Injuries associated with gunshot wound number 8?
Associated with this wound, there was hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound track.
What about the direction of the wound?
The direction of the wound is right to left and downward.
Did this gunshot wound number 8, cause Laquan to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right upper leg?
No.
Let's talk about gunshot wound number 9.
I'm sorry. John hit the leg. Mr. McMahon, at this time, we've heard testimony for several hours. We're going to take a 10-minute break. Doctor, you can talk to people, but not about your testimony.
Okay.
All right. Court's in recess for 10 minutes.
All right, for the jury.
Thank you, John. All right, we're good. Excuse me, Mr. McGann. Ladies and gentlemen, in the back of the jury, if that isn't up, raise your hand. I'll get the screen up for you, okay? Are we all good? Thank you. All right, let your lights, please, yeah.
All right, gunshot wound number 9, Doctor. Would you please describe the location of gunshot wound number 9?
The 9th evidence of injury was a gunshot wound on the left upper back. This was 11 inches beneath the top of the head. It was irregular and measured 9 by 16 by 5 by 16 inch. It did have a circumferential brown margin of abrasion around it. The bullet penetrates the skin, the tissue beneath the skin. It goes through the muscles in the left upper back and then exits on the left lateral back, which is to the side of the left back, at 17 and 1/4 inches beneath the top of the head, creating an irregular exit wound that measured 3x8 by 3x16 inch. This exit wound had no abrasion around it.
So let's talk about the entrance wound. I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 142. Again, that's marked by one of those gray medical examiner tags, correct?
Correct.
And the wound that we're talking about is right above the gray tag on the photograph, 142.
Yes.
Would you describe what is depicted in 142, please?
This is a photograph of the left upper back of the deceased and the left arm. There is an injury on the left arm that was previously described. There is an irregular large defect on the left upper back. This is the gunshot entrance wound on the upper back of the deceased.
Now, what are the observations that allow you to determine that the gunshot wound to the left upper back that's shown in 142 is an entrance wound?
The wound has a margin of abrasion around it, which occurs as the bullet enters the body. It scrapes the skin, so that is present. And a close-up photograph will show that there is black clothing material in the wound that enters the wound as the bullet gets pushed into the wound as the bullet goes through the clothing and enters the body.
So let me show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 143. 143 is a close-up, essentially, of 142, correct?
Correct.
And would you describe what you see in 143?
This is a close-up photograph of that gunshot wound that you previously saw on the upper back. It does have a dry margin of abrasion, which is brown in color, and there is black material, which is black clothing material, in the wound, which makes it the entrance wound.
Where is the brown margin of abrasion on People's Exhibit 143? Just if you would draw a line, if you touch the screen, maybe right above the margin of abrasion.
Okay.
So around the entire surface.
Correct.
Okay. And then the clothing material that is it embedded in the wound?
Yes.
And if you can point to where the clothing material embedded in the wound, as shown on People's Exhibit 143, is. Where is that?
It is the black material that can be seen in the wound. I'll be going close to it, maybe over it, but okay. You can see that there is some material that's embedded in that wound.
So on a couple different locations, the left side, the middle of it, and then the upper right side, maybe 1-2 o'clock if you were to apply a clock over it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Was the path of gunshot wound number 9 determined?
Yes.
What was the path of gunshot wound number 9?
The path of the bullet went through the muscles in the back and caused hemorrhage and pulpitation of the wound track.
There's also an exit wound associated with gunshot wound number 9, correct?
Yes.
Let me ask you about the... Well, first of all, you see People's Exhibit 144 in front of you, correct?
Correct.
What is People's Exhibit 144?
This is a photograph that is titled Gunshot Wound of Entrance. It shows how entrance wounds usually look. It is usually circular and has a margin of abrasion around it. And the cartoon on the right shows the bullet entering the skin. As it enters, it scrapes the skin. And that is why you see that margin of abrasion or scraping around the wound as the bullet enters the body.
And just, I want to make this perfectly clear. People's Exhibit 144 has two photographs up on the screen right now, correct?
Correct.
The photograph on the left, that's out of a textbook, and that is not from the autopsy of Laquan McDonald, correct?
Correct.
And the image on the right, that is a kind of a cartoon or an artist rendition of how a bullet enters the human body.
Yes.
Both images on 144, I didn't say that very well, but neither image on 144 is from the autopsy of Laquan McDonald.
Correct.
These are just for demonstrative purposes for the jury.
Correct. And you can see there's clearly another case number on the photograph of the on the real photograph of them. There's a different case number.
I'm going to show you 145, and that disclaimer that we just gave, that applies equally to People's Exhibit 145. Neither the image on the right or the photograph on the left are images of Laquan McDonald's autopsy. That's correct.
That is correct.
Okay. What does 145 show us?
This is a photograph that shows how gunshot exit wounds usually look and what's the difference between the between an exit wound and an entrance wound that we just saw. An exit wound occurs when the bullet is coming out of the body, so it just pushes the skin out and comes out, so it does not scrape the skin as it comes out in most instances, and hence the exit wound is usually irregular, has tears or is lacerated, and it does not have that margin of a break around it, again in most instances. But if the subject or the target is against a firm surface like a wall or on the ground, the bullet may scrape the skin as it's coming out because there is a firm surface just adjacent to the skin.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 146. What does People's Exhibit 146 show?
This is a photograph of the left back of Laquan. There is a gray tag with the case number ME-2014-01071. Just above the gray tag, there is a somewhat circular defect with tissue coming out of it. And next to the gray tag is an incision that is mostly sutured. The somewhat circular defect above the gray tag is the gunshot exit wound that corresponds to the entrance wound on the left upper back with the clothing material in it.
Okay, so the wound on the left side, that is, as we're looking at People's Exhibit 146, to the left of the gray tag, that is from that thoracotomy that was performed on Laquan when he was at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Yes.
And the exit wound that we're talking about that's associated with gunshot wound number 9 is that gunshot, that wound, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that's right above the gray medical examiner's tag that is shown on 146.
Yes.
I'm going to show you a close-up of this gunshot wound exit. I'm showing you People's Exhibit 147. Would you describe what is observed in People's Exhibit 147?
This is a close-up photograph of the gunshot wound on the left back. You can see that it is somewhat circular with tissue coming out, but there's no margin of abrasion. There's no abrasion around the wound. It is it's circular because the skin there is kind of gaping, as can be seen in that mostly sutured thoracotomy incision that was placed by the medical personnel. Where the sutures are not present on the incision, usually a linear incision is placed, but you can see that part of the incision is gaping because of the elasticity that is in the skin. So the exit wound also appears to be kind of slightly circular because it's gaping from the lines of elasticity that are naturally present in the skin.
Were there any other observations about the exit wound of gunshot wound number 9?
There was no abrasion that was seen, and the tissue is coming out of the wound.
And those are two indicators that gunshot wound, that the photograph being shown in People's Exhibit 147 is in fact an exit wound as opposed to an entrance wound.
Yes.
Were there additional injuries associated with the wound track or the path of gunshot wound number 9?
Associated with the wound, there's hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound track.
Was the direction of the wound determined?
Yes.
And what was it?
The direction is right to left and downward.
Are you able to determine if Laquan McDonald was standing when he was shot in the left upper back?
No, but most likely he was not on the ground to receive that wound to his back.
Did this gunshot wound cause Laquan to lose blood?
Yes.
Let's talk about gunshot wound number 10.
The 10th evidence of injury was a gunshot wound to the left elbow. This gunshot wound of entrance was close to the gunshot wound of entrance number 5. This was one of those wounds which were close to each other on the left elbow. This wound was 13 and 1 by 16 inch from the top of the left shoulder and measured 3 by 16 inch in diameter. It had a margin of abrasion around it. It perforated the bullet perforated the skin, the tissue beneath the skin in the left elbow. It perforated the muscles in the elbow area, the left humerus, and exits the body on the medial left elbow, creating an irregularly shaped wound that measured 3 by 16 by 1 by 8 inch.
Doctor, let me show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 148. Would you describe what is shown in 148?
This is a photograph of the left elbow that we've seen previously, but this is the gray tag is showing the lower wound of entrance, lower wound of the two wounds, which is gunshot entrance wound number 10.
And just above the entrance, the gunshot wound number 10 is one of those skin bridges that you previously identified and described that separates the two gunshot wounds.
Correct.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 149. What does 149 show, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the back of the left elbow showing the gunshot wound of exit that corresponds to the gunshot wound of entrance that we just saw.
And People's Exhibit 150 is an x-ray, correct?
Correct.
It's an x-ray of Laquan's left elbow area?
Yes.
And what does People's Exhibit 150 show?
This is a radiograph showing the fracture of the humerus and the left ulna that was seen with this gunshot wound number 10.
The gunshot wound number 10 caused Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
Are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the left elbow?
No.
And you cannot make that determination because of all the reasons you testified earlier to about that same issue, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Movement of Laquan and movement of the shooter.
Yes.
Now, again, here Dr. Tease reviewed this. And did Dr. Tease describe this wound, gunshot wound number 10, as a superficial wound?
Yes.
And is gunshot wound 10 a superficial wound?
No.
Why not?
It goes through the muscles, it goes and fractures two bones. This would not be referred to as a superficial wound.
And the two fractures of the bone from gunshot wound number 10, they're shown where on People's Exhibit 150?
They can be seen in both the x-rays of the left elbow area. There's fractures of the left humerus and a left ulna.
So on the right-hand image, the fracture is denoted where? Just circle it. Did your screen go off?
Yes.
I think it just went back on. And the other fracture noted to the... you said there was a second fracture of the ulna, I think?
Right. They're both in the circle, so the humerus one is there and the ulna one is there.
Great. Let's talk about gunshot wound number 11, Doctor. Where was gunshot wound 11 located?
The gunshot wound number 11 had its entrance wound on the back of the right upper arm. This was 5 3/4 inches from the top of the right shoulder, and it was on the back and measured off the arm and measured 1 8 inch in diameter. It did have a margin of abrasion around it. The bullet goes through the skin, the tissue beneath the skin of the back of the right arm, then goes goes through the muscles in the right arm and exits on the right upper back. This is one of the wounds that is adjacent to another wound that was just described as gunshot wound number 6.
And gunshot wound number 6 and gunshot wound number 7 are again separated by one of these skin bridges, correct?
Yes, the skin bridge measures.
Let me just interrupt you, I'm sorry, because I put on the screen in front of you People's Exhibit 151. Would you tell us what 151 shows and then identify the skin bridge that you're talking about, please?
So this is a photograph of the back of the right arm and the upper back of Laquan. On the back of the right arm, there are two wounds that are next to each other and separated by a skin bridge. The lower one is gunshot wound number 6 that was previously described. The upper wound is the gunshot wound number 11 that I'm just describing, that goes through the muscles of the arm and the muscles of the back. I can circle the gunshot wound entrance and the skin bridge.
Please do.
That is the skin bridge that separates gunshot wound number 6 and 11. Gunshot wound number 11 is the upper wound that penetrates or goes through the muscles in the right arm and then the muscles in the right back. And and on the right back, one can see the exit wound that corresponds to gunshot wound number 11.
All right, so let's look at the exit wound. Show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 152. Is this the exit wound that you just described?
Yes.
Okay, would you describe the observations about the exit wound to gunshot wound number 11?
The exit wound was measures 3x8x1x8 inch. It's irregularly shaped. There's no margin of abrasion around it. And we did describe the skin bridge for the entrance wounds already.
Okay. Was the direction of gunshot wound 11 determined?
Yes.
And what was it?
The direction is right to left, downward.
Did this gunshot wound cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the back of the right upper arm?
No.
For all those same reasons?
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about gunshot wound number 12. Would you describe that gun, number 12, would you describe that gunshot wound, please?
The 12th evidence of injury was on the back of the right upper forearm. This was located 15 and a half inches from the top of the right shoulder and was ovoid and measured 5x16x1x4 inch. It did have a dry brown margin of abrasion around it. The bullet penetrates the skin, the tissue beneath the skin of the posterior right forearm, and then goes through the muscles in the right upper arm. A moderately deformed copper jacketed bullet was recovered from the muscles in the right upper arm.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 153. What's shown in 153?
This is a photograph of the back of the right upper forearm. There is an injury, which is the gunshot entrance wound on the back of the right forearm.
And that's the wound you just described as gunshot wound number 12, correct?
Yes.
And an x-ray was taken of this area of Laquan as well. I'm showing you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 154. Would you tell us what you observe in People's Exhibit 154?
This is a photograph showing two x-rays of the right forearm and right hand. In the x-ray on the right, there is a metal projectile that can be seen. It's mushroom-shaped and on the right side of the arm.
Would you circle that, the bullet, the projectile? Dr. Means removed that from the right arm of Laquan McDonald during the autopsy, correct?
Correct.
And I'm showing you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 155. What is People's Exhibit 155?
This is a photograph of the medium caliber copper jacketed bullet that was recovered from the right arm.
And when Dr. Means removed that bullet that was photographed, sealed, turned over to the Chicago Police Department?
Yes.
What other injuries were associated with gunshot wound number 12, Doctor?
Associated with the wound, there is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound track.
Was the direction of gunshot wound 12 determined?
Yes.
What was that direction?
The direction is back to front and upward.
Did this gunshot wound number 12, cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right upper arm?
No.
Again, same reasons.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's talk about gunshot wound number 13. Would you describe that wound's location, please?
The 13th evidence of injury was another gunshot wound to the right forearm. This was also on the back of the right forearm, 19 and a half inches from the top of the right shoulder and along the midline in the forearm. This wound measured half by 1 by 8 inch and had a dry margin of abrasion around it. The bullet perforated the skin, the tissue beneath the skin on the back of the right forearm, and then goes through the muscles in the right forearm. Finally, a large fragment of a copper jacketed bullet was recovered from the right forearm. There were fractures of the right radius and ulna that was seen associated with this gunshot wound.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 156. What is shown in People's Exhibit 156, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the back of the right forearm. It is the lower portion of the right forearm, and just adjacent to the great tag, there is a gunshot entrance wound, which is gunshot entrance wound number 13.
Now, between the great tag and what appears to be the that's an entrance wound, correct?
Yes.
There's some darker coloration of the skin.
Yes.
What is that, or what's the significance, if any, to that darker area of the skin?
This could occur as the bullet is entering the forearm. It is going upward, causing more abrasion or marking on the skin as it's entering the forearm at an angle.
And so, if I understand you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is almost like a scraping of the bullet as it enters the body, which caused that darker colored skin between the gray tag and then the entrance point.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 157. This is an x-ray of Laquan's right arm, correct?
Correct.
What is shown in People's Exhibit 157?
In this photograph, again, there are two x-rays side by side. On the x-ray on the left of the on the left side, there is a bullet between the two bones in the forearm.
And would you circle that bullet, please? So that's in the left, it's in the right arm, but the left image on People's Exhibit 157.
Yes.
And was that bullet recovered from the right forearm of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 158. What is that?
This is a photograph of the large fragment of the copper jacketed bullet that was recovered from the right forearm.
And again, Dr. Means photographed the fragment, sealed it, turned it over to the Chicago Police Department.
Yes.
What other injuries are associated with gunshot wound 13?
Associated with the wound, there is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract and fractures of the radius and ulna.
I want to go back to the x-ray. Are the fractures shown on the x-ray, which is on People's Exhibit 157?
The fractures are minor and can't be readily seen, but more likely where the bullet fragments are associated with that large fragment in the right forearm.
Okay. And that's captured on the left image of People's Exhibit 157?
Yes.
Was the direction of gunshot wound 13 determined?
Yes.
What was that direction?
The direction is upward and slightly back to front.
Did gunshot wound 13 cause Laquan to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right forearm?
No.
Again, same reasons.
Yes.
Let's talk about gunshot wound 14. Would you describe where that wound is?
The 14th evidence of injury was a gunshot wound on the back of the right hand. This was located 24 inches from the top of the right shoulder, and it was slit-like and measured 3 by 16 inch. It did have a moist red margin of abrasion, but associated with this entrance wound, there were multiple irregular dry dark brown abrasions and what is referred to as pseudo-stippling around the gunshot entrance wound on the right hand.
Let me show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 159. Is 159, People's Exhibit number 159, a photo of the right hand injury, gunshot wound injury to Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And would you describe what you observe in that exhibit?
This is a photograph of the back of the right hand of the deceased. It is on the right lower abdomen, right thigh. Around the gunshot entrance wound or the defect, there is the abrasions or pseudo-stippling that can be seen. So it's not just one somewhat circular defect, but abrasions around it as well.
So would you explain what pseudo-stippling is?
Pseudo-stippling is irregular abrasions or marks that can be seen around an entrance wound when either the bullet hits an intermediary target, breaks up into pieces, and then enters the body. There are some irregular wounds around, or there are pieces of the intermediary target, which could be the road or a wall which the bullet strikes and, you know, breaks it, such that those pieces also enter the wound. They are irregular, hence easily differentiated from true stippling, which is basically partially burnt or unburnt gunpowder particles around the entrance wound.
And can you point out on People's Exhibit 159 the location of the pseudo-stippling that you just identified, please? The area below the gunshot entrance wound, but above the gray tag.
Yes.
And so that's those darker kind of like marks on the back of the hand.
Yes.
What caused the pseudo stippling that we see in People's Exhibit 159?
Could be caused by the bullet hitting an intermediary target like the ground, breaking and causing fragments of bullet, fragments of the road or asphalt entering the hand and causing those injuries.
Was an x-ray also taken of the right hand of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 160. What does this x-ray show?
This is a photograph showing two...
Mr. McMahon, could you eliminate the...
Previous? No. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
There we go.
This is a photograph showing two x-rays side by side. One with the letter R is an x-ray of the right forearm and right hand of the deceased, and the one marked left is a photo, is an x-ray of the left forearm and left hand of the deceased. On the x-ray marked R or right, there are bullet fragments in the right wrist that can be seen.
And were those bullet fragments recovered and removed from Laquan's right hand?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 161. What is shown in People's Exhibit 161?
These are the two bullet fragments that were recovered from the right wrist of the deceased.
And when they were recovered, again, Dr. Means photographed them, sealed them, and turned them both over to the Chicago Police Department?
Yes.
Was the direction of gunshot wound 14 determined?
Yes.
What was that direction?
The direction is slightly left to right and slightly upward.
Did this gunshot wound cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
Are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right hand?
There is the abrasions around that entrance wound on the right hand, so he was most likely on the ground when he received this wound.
And what observations about the right hand, when you're looking at People's Exhibit 159, did you rely on for that determination?
The presence of the abrasions or pseudo stippling that is noted on the photograph and in the autopsy report for gunshot wound number 14.
And that pseudo stippling, the abrasions, the charred skin, that was the area that you circled below the gunshot entrance wound but above the gray medical examiner's tag, correct?
Correct.
Was there anything about the bullet fragments that you identified in People's Exhibit 161 that you relied on to make that determination?
An intact bullet was not recovered. They're just fragments that were seen on x-ray, and those were the only fragments recovered in association with that entrance wound on the right hand. So there were other bullet as such fragmented, and two large pieces entered the right hand.
Now, earlier today, I think it was this morning, you told us that you reviewed both Dr. Mazikowski's report and Dr. T's report, correct?
Correct.
What did Dr. Mazikowski conclude about Laquan's position related to gunshot wound 14?
He also states in his review of the case that the abrasions and pseudo-stippling on the hand indicate that the subject or Laquan was most likely on the ground when he received the gunshot.
And did Dr. T's form an opinion on that same subject matter?
Yes.
What did Dr. T's conclude?
She also concluded that these could be from fragments of bullet or road or asphalt striking or entering the hand, causing those injuries.
Let's talk about gunshot wound 15. Where was that located?
Gunshot wound number 15 was on the lower back on the right side. This was an entrance wound that was located 28 inches from the top of the head and 1 7/8 inch to the right of the midline drawn on the back. This wound was ovoid, measured 3 by 16 by 1 by 8 inch. It also had a margin of abrasion around it. The bullet enters the skin, the tissue beneath the skin, goes through the muscles in the back, perforates the sacrum, which is a bone at the bottom of the vertebral column. It's a triangular bone that forms the back of the pelvic cavity. It then perforates goes through the abdominal cavity and the muscles in the left abdominal wall. So it enters the back, goes through the sacrum, the abdominal cavity, and then the bullet is lodged in the abdominal wall on the left side.
In front of all of us on the screen is People's Exhibit 162. What is People's Exhibit 162 a photograph of?
This is a photograph of the lower back and upper buttock area of the deceased. And just about the gray tag, there is a gunshot entrance wound. It is circular. It has a margin of abrasion around it.
And that's gunshot wound 15 that you just described?
Yes.
There was also an x-ray taken of gunshot wound, or this part of the body that captured gunshot wound 15, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 163. What does People's Exhibit 163 show?
This is a photograph of the pelvis and the upper thighs of the deceased. In this photograph, at the upper end or upper margin of the x-ray, there is some tiny bullet fragments where the fracture of the sacrum is. And on the left or where the letter L is, there is a large projectile at the upper margin of the photograph as well. This is the bullet that was lodged in the left abdominal wall.
Okay, so there was a bullet recovered from gunshot wound 15.
Yes.
Would you circle on People's Exhibit 163 the bullet that was recovered from gunshot wound 15? So that's the one up at the very top of the screen, at the top of the image, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Earlier you talked about, I think you said the sacrum, correct?
Correct.
And what is the sacrum?
It is a triangular bone that is at the bottom of the vertebral column. It forms the back of the pelvic cavity. It is attached to the two larger pelvic bones.
And was the path or the wound track from the entrance on the lower right back to the location of the bullet where it was recovered, was that wound path documented?
Yes.
What was the wound path?
The wound path did go through the sacrum, the abdominal cavity, and the muscles in the abdominal wall. There was fracture of the sacrum and hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound track.
That bullet that you circled, that was recovered, correct?
Yes.
What I've marked as People's Exhibit 164. What's in 164, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the medium caliber copper jacketed bullet that was recovered from the abdominal wall. This is associated with the gunshot entrance wound on the right lower back.
And this bullet was, again, photographed, sealed, turned over to the Chicago Police Department, correct?
Yes.
I want to go back to People's Exhibit 163 briefly, Doctor. You talked about the sacrum and that there was evidence that the sacrum was fractured, correct?
Correct.
Can you point out the evidence that is shown on the x-ray, People's Exhibit 163, where it shows us that the sacrum was fractured? And that fracture was caused by what?
Was caused by the bullet entering the right lower back.
I'm sorry if I asked you already, but was the direction of the gunshot wound 15 determined?
Yes.
What was the direction?
The direction was back to front, right to left, and upward.
And did gunshot wound 15 cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
Are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right lower back?
No, but he was most likely not on the ground when he received this gunshot wound to the back.
And how is it that you could make that determination?
When he was on his back, there's no one behind him to cause that gunshot wound to the back.
So you reviewed photographs and video of the shooting of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And there was nobody behind him?
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about gunshot wound number 16. Would you describe that gunshot wound, please?
Gunshot wound number 16 was associated with an entrance wound on the right upper thigh, on the medial or inner aspect of the right thigh. This wound was 42 and a half inches from the top of the head, and measured 1x4x3x16 inch. It did have a dry red-brown abrasion around it, and the wound or bullet went through the skin, the tissue beneath the skin of the right thigh, went through the muscles in the right upper thigh, and then exits on the back of the right upper thigh.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 165. What is 165 showing, Doctor?
This is a photograph of the right thigh of the deceased. It's the inner and back of the right thigh. About the gray tag, there is a defect with a margin of abrasion, which is the gunshot entrance wound. And in the same photograph, there is another injury on the back of the right thigh, which is the exit wound.
And the significance of that red-brown marginal abrasion, that's evidence of the entrance wound, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 166. What is shown in People's Exhibit 166?
This is a photograph of the back of the right thigh. Just about the gray tag is the defect that we could see in the prior photograph. This is the gunshot exit wound on the back of the right thigh. It is irregular, and there's tearing or laceration of the wound.
Was the wound track or the path of gunshot wound 16 examined?
Yes.
And were there additional injuries associated with the wound path of gunshot wound 16?
Associated with the wound, there's hemorrhage and pulpifaction of the wound track.
Did this gunshot wound cause Laquan to lose blood?
Yes.
And are you able to determine if Laquan was standing when he was shot in the right upper leg?
No.
Doctor, would you consider gunshot wound 16 a superficial wound?
No.
Why not?
It goes through the muscles in the right thigh.
We've gone through 16 gunshot wounds. Were any of the gunshot wounds superficial?
All the gunshot wounds did go through muscle or bone or structures inside internal organs in the body, so they would not be referred to as superficial wounds. The first wound, which was the gunshot graze wound to the head, could be referred to as a superficial wound because it scrapes the skin and does not have an exit wound associated with it, and it did not penetrate the skull or the brain.
But gunshot wound number one caused a brain bleed, even though it didn't penetrate the brain, correct?
Correct.
Does superficial, in medical terms or forensic pathology terms, does that mean that the wound or the injury is a minor injury in any way?
No.
Every one of these gunshot wounds would have required major medical attention.
Yes.
Based on the examination of the body of Laquan McDonald during the autopsy, are there 16 separate and distinct gunshot wounds to Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
Do some of the gunshots have both an entrance and an exit wound?
Yes.
Doctor, when you add up both the entrance and the exit wounds, how many total wounds caused by gunshot did Laquan suffer?
There were a total of 16 gunshot wounds. One of them was the gunshot graze wound to the head. There were seven penetrating gunshot wounds where projectile or projectile fragments were recovered, and eight perforating wounds where the bullet enters the body and exits the body. So when all the holes are added, it comes to totals to 24 holes on Laquan.
Judge, I have an exhibit in the back. Can I reach for it?
Sure.
There was a chart that documented the location of each entrance wound and exit wound and recovered bullet and where it was recovered from the body of Laquan McDonald, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to show you what we mark as People's Exhibit 231 for identification. Fourth permission, Doctor, it may be easiest if you step down from the witness stand and approach the exhibit.
Sure, absolutely. Come on.
Medical examiner has been testifying. You have to just hand it to her that you need to stay calm, be very clinical, and also be quite educated and detail-oriented in terms of having to give this kind of testimony outlining every single wound that was suffered, gunshot wound that was suffered by Laquan McDonald on the night of October 20th, 2014, when he was shot 16 times by Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke. The question for the jury, was this murder, first-degree murder, or was Laquan shot down because he'd been wielding a knife and posed a threat to others? She is giving extensive testimony. Interestingly, all of those 16 bullets, none of them were considered to be superficial wounds, and she agreed that every one of those gunshot wounds would have required major medical attention.
Thank you, Judge. Doctor, what does...
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, in the jury box, if you have any difficulty, make yourselves comfortable. Stand up if you want. That's great. I like the initiative. All right, go ahead.
Doctor, what does People's Exhibit 231 show?
This is a body diagram, or a copy of the body diagram that is prepared by Dr. Moon's, documenting all the gunshot wounds that you've seen on the form of McDonald.
And both the entrance and the exit wounds are documented on the front and the back of the body diagram?
Yes. The entrance wounds are marked by a circle, the exit wounds are marked by the cross, and the triangle refers to a bullet or projectile fragment that is lodged.
And then the location that is assigned a number, that correlates with the 1 through 16 gunshot wounds that we went through earlier today. Thank you, Doctor. I think you can have a seat back up there. Thank you. Did 16 separate bullets strike the body of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
How many of those gunshot wounds only had an entrance?
There was the one graze wound that just scraped this body, and then there were seven wounds that had just an entrance wound.
And the one that scraped the body was the left scalp of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
Seven others had an entrance wound?
Yes.
Was either a bullet or a fragment of a bullet recovered from each of those other seven wound locations?
Yes.
How many wounds had both an entrance and an exit wound?
Eight of the wounds had both an entrance and an exit wound.
When there's both an entrance wound and an exit wound, was a bullet or a fragment of a bullet recovered from the body of Laquan from those wound locations?
No.
Why not?
The bullet entered the body and then came out of the body, so there was nothing retained in the body.
Now, there were some other injuries that we talked about, or at least we showed earlier. I want to show you again on the monitor here. I'm going to show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 167. What does People's Exhibit 167 show?
This is a photograph of the right shoulder of the deceased. There are abrasions that can be seen on the right shoulder.
What was the cause of the abrasions to the right shoulder?
These could be caused when the subject fell to the ground, when fragments of bullet or a road or the asphalt fragments caused those abrasions on the right shoulder.
I'm going to show you what I've marked as 168. And again, there's a number of injuries, gunshot wounds and other injuries on 168. Would you circle the other injuries, the non-gunshot injuries that you're going to talk about here, please?
There are the abrasions on the right shoulder that we just saw, and then there are larger abrasions on the right chest.
And the incision, that's from the medical procedure?
Yes.
Show you what I've marked as People's Exhibit 169. What's shown in People's Exhibit 169?
This is a photograph of the face of the deceased where the upper lip has been reflected. On the face, there are on the right side, there are some red-brown abrasions that can be seen. And when the upper lip has been reflected, just above the gray tag, there is at least one and maybe two metallic fragments that can be seen. These were the bullet fragments that were seen in the mouth of the deceased.
And were these bullet fragments removed from the teeth in the mouth of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And these bullet fragments, like the other bullets and fragments, they were photographed, sealed, and turned over to the Chicago Police Department?
Yes.
People's Exhibit 170. What is shown on People's Exhibit 170?
This is a photograph of the right wrist of the deceased. There are, again, red-brown abrasions that can be seen on the right wrist.
And what was the cause of the injuries to the right wrist that are shown in People's Exhibit 170?
These are due to the subject being on the ground in fragments of bullet or the road or the asphalt fragments hitting the wrist.
Doctor, earlier in your testimony, you talked about the different parts of an autopsy, and we've gone through one part, and we've documented the gunshot wounds, but there's also something called an internal examination that's performed during an autopsy as well, correct?
Correct.
Just generally, what is an internal examination during an autopsy?
An internal examination is looking at the organs inside the body. So the chest plate is reflected in the organs in the chest, that's the heart and the lungs, the organs in the abdomen, the intestines, the liver are looked at. had for any injury or disease. During the internal examination, specimens like blood and urine are collected for toxicology. An incision is then placed on the head, the skull is reflected, and the brain looked at for injury or disease.
I want to go through that internal examination. So let's start with the body cavity. The evidence of injury to the body cavity was documented how?
There was about 40 ml of blood that was seen in the right chest cavity. He had received medical treatment, but there's some residual blood that was seen associated with the gunshot wound to the right lung.
When you say 40 ml, you're talking about 40 milliliters, right?
Yes.
That's a measurement of the volume of blood.
Yes.
Okay. Was there an internal examination of Laquan's head?
Yes.
And that was following the incision from ear to ear, where the skin and the scalp were reflected.
Yes.
And during the examination of the head, was the brain removed?
Yes.
And what was observed about injury or damage to the brain?
On examination of the brain, there was a subarachnoid hemorrhage that was present over the left temporal and parietal lobes of the brain.
Was the neck of Laquan McDonald examined during the internal exam?
Yes.
And what were the injuries to the neck area observed during the internal examination?
There were injuries to both the right and left neck muscles, and there was an injury to the trachea due to the gunshot wound.
There was also an examination of his cardiovascular system?
Yes.
What observations were made about his cardiovascular system?
There was no injury to the heart. Adjacent to the heart, there was injury to the right lung.
Laquan's respiratory system was examined?
Yes.
Before you tell us what the observations of injuries were, would you just generally describe what the respiratory system is?
The respiratory system consists of the right and left lungs.
Now, was there evidence of injury to the right and left lung?
There was injury to the two lobes of the right lung that was seen.
And that's what you testified earlier to about where the bullets penetrated the rib cage in the right lobe.
Yes.
The hepatobiliary system, that's the liver essentially, right?
Yes.
That was examined?
Yes.
Any evidence of injury to the liver?
There was no evidence of injury to the liver.
The gastrointestinal system, that was examined?
Yes.
Any evidence of injury to the gastrointestinal system?
There was no injury to the intestines or the stomach.
The left kidney, was an observation made about the left kidney, right?
Yes.
And what was that observation?
The left kidney was absent.
That was part of the genitourinary examination?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
That involves examination of the kidneys, the urinary bladder, and the ureters, and the prostate gland.
And the amount of urine in the bladder was recovered and measured?
Yes.
We'll come back to that. The endocrine system?
That involves examination of the thyroid gland and the adrenal glands, and there was no injury seen.
The spleen was examined?
Yes.
What were the findings there, if any?
There was no injury to the spleen.
And then the musculoskeletal system, we've talked about that during the evidence of the other 16 injuries, 16 gunshots.
Yes.
An autopsy examination also includes what's called toxicology, correct?
Correct.
Would you explain what toxicology is?
Toxicology is examination or examination for drugs or medications in samples like blood.
And so how were the samples recovered to test for the presence of drugs?
During the autopsy, samples like blood, urine, the fluid in the eye were collected. And if the patient was in the hospital submits blood samples as well that they withdrew during the care of the deceased.
And what's the purpose of toxicology testing when someone is killed by multiple gunshot wounds?
It documents if they were under the influence of a drug when they were shot.
Were specimen samples taken from the body of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And are those, were those samples tested?
Yes.
Who does the testing of those specimens?
The testing at the time was done initially by an in-house toxicology lab, and some testing was also sent out if the in-house lab could not perform those tests.
And you reviewed those toxicology tests as part of the autopsy reports that you're testifying about today?
Yes.
I want to ask you about the toxicology findings in the report dated December 11, 2014. Do you have those?
Yes.
What were the toxicology findings in the report dated December 11, 2014?
In the toxicology report dated December 11, 2014, hospital specimens were tested for cocaine, alcohol, and opiates, and there was no cocaine, alcohol, or an opiate in the blood.
Okay, so in that initial test, the hospital collects samples. Those samples are sent to the lab, and all of those samples came back negative for those items that they, the samples were screened for, correct?
Correct.
And that's alcohol, cocaine, and what was the third one?
Opiates.
What's an opiate?
Opiate refers to heroin, morphine, or drugs related to that class.
There was additional toxicology tests done on these samples taken from Laquan McDonald as well, correct?
Correct.
And those toxicology test results were reported on March 31, 2015, correct?
Correct.
Why was there additional toxicology testing done 4.5 months later?
There was additional tests requested by the assistant state's attorney at the time, and these tests were done.
And you have those test results from the March 31, 2015 testing as well, correct?
Correct.
What are the toxicology findings from the report dated March 31, 2015?
The reports state the results for the additional testing that was requested. These were for fencyclidine, risperidone, and valproic acid. There was fencyclidine detected in the blood at a level of 56 nanograms per ml. There was no risperidone or valproic acid detected.
What's valproic acid?
Valproic acid is a drug used to treat seizures or psychiatric disorders.
And that was positive or negative?
Negative.
Meaning there was no valproic acid in the system?
Correct.
There was another item that you called risperidone.
Yes.
What's risperidone?
Risperidone is an antipsychotic drug.
What were the findings related to risperidone?
There was no risperidone present in the specimen.
Then there was also a finding about fencyclidine, correct?
Correct.
Fencyclidine has a number of different street names, right?
Yes.
What is it commonly known as?
It's commonly referred to as angel dust or PCP.
And what were the findings in the March 31, 2015 report about PCP or the fencyclidine?
There was fencyclidine detected in the blood at a level of 56 nanogram per ml.
And those toxicology findings are made by who?
This toxicology finding was done at an outside lab called NMS.
Just the initials, N. N is in Nancy, M is in Mary, S is in Sam.
Yes.
And that's the outside lab that your Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, that's who you use on all your cases for outside testing.
Yes.
What are the effects of PCP at 56 nanograms per milliliters in a person's system?
She's a medical doctor. Overruled.
the physiologic effects from PCP at a level of 56 nanogram per ml would be referred to, would be classified as effects from a low dose of phencyclidine. And these effects include visual disturbances, drowsiness, agitation, hallucinations, aggressiveness, increased pulse rate and blood pressure, bronchospasm, increased respiratory rate, and hyperthermia. And this is documented in the toxicology report.
Doctor, was Laquan McDonald alive for each and every gunshot?
Objection, Judge.
I'll lie to you, why latitude on cross-examination? Overrule.
Yes.
Did each and every gunshot wound cause Laquan McDonald to lose blood?
Yes.
Doctor, how much blood by volume does the human body hold?
The human body has around 5 liters of blood.
And what happens to a person when he loses blood?
When one loses about 20 to 25% of the blood volume, which is a little more than a liter of blood, one can go into shock, which is hemorrhagic shock.
And as the person loses more blood, so more than 20 to 25%, is there an impact of losing a greater amount of blood?
Yes.
What is that?
At a certain stage, one cannot be resuscitated or revived, and death is a consequence.
And what is that higher level? What is that stage?
This is all outside the scope.
It's noted. Thank you. Objection overruled.
When a person loses about 60% of their blood volume, usually death is the result.
Testified earlier that each of the 16 gunshot wounds caused blood loss, correct?
Correct.
Did each and every gunshot wound and the blood loss from each gunshot wound, did that accelerate the death of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
Did each and every gunshot wound contribute to the death of Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
Based on your years of experience, your training, your education, the thousands of autopsies that you have both personally performed and the thousands more that you have reviewed and supervised, all of the medical information, the autopsy reports, the photographs, the toxicology reports, the videos, you determine the cause of death to Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
What is it?
The cause of death is multiple gunshot wounds.
Doctor, what was the manner of death to Laquan McDonald?
The manner of death is homicide.
If I could have a moment, Judge?
Absolutely. Doctor, you can step down. Doctor, you're still under oath. You can't talk to anybody about your testimony. So you're going to be cross-examined later. We're going to break for lunch at this time.
All right, so the jury.